Revelation chapter number 3 in the Word of God. And you know, there's a church here that Jesus addresses in Revelation chapter 3. And in verse 14 is where I'd like to start reading. Revelation, the last book of your Bible, chapter 3, verse 14. So good to see all of you this morning. Boy, it's hard to believe. Walk through Bethlehem is here, isn't it? It's hard to believe. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. But this morning, this church, it's called the, verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now, here's the problem, verse 17. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of what? Nothing." Man, these people thought that they had need of nothing. They said, "Man, we are good and we have need of nothing." But notice the real condition here. "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Whew. Man, this church was so needy. But yet in verse 17, Jesus reveals that their attitude was that we have need of what? Nothing. In your handout it says, they were wealthy and prosperous, and they thought they had need of nothing. What an accurate snapshot of so many people today, both believers and unbelievers alike. So many people have no clue what their greatest needs are. I mean, they're chasing after all the wrong things. They're like a, kind of like my cat. I got an old cat, outside cat, never comes in the house, not allowed to, and it stays outdoors. And you know what that stupid cat does? He chases his tail. You ever seen a cat do that? Just go round and round and round and round. What's it going to do when it catches it? Yeah, I mean, you know, what's it going to do? It thinks it wants that tail so bad till it gets it. I mean, if he bites it, it's going to hurt, you know. So it's like a lot of people are like a cat out there chasing its tail. When they really get what they think they're after, what have they really gained in the final analysis, you know? Thankfully, God has revealed to us in the Bible our greatest need. And I'm so glad that He has. God hasn't left us in the dark to grope around and chase our tail. God has revealed to us our greatest need. You need to know what God says is your greatest need. What you think is irrelevant, what God thinks is what matters. You need to know what your greatest need really is. In this message, I want to examine two common misconceptions about what people think their needs are. And then I want to see the answer from the Word of God. The first one is this. Many people believe that our greatest need is religion. But our greatest need, it says in your handout, is not religion. Our greatest need is not religion. What does it sound like? Does this sound weird to you, the mic? It sound funny? Everybody, okay. Does everybody think I sound weird? Am I like, weird? Does it sound weird, Rick? Sounds weird, huh? Too echoey? Okay, we're trying to fix it. All right, if we don't fix it, I'm going to switch to another mic. Tune in. Now, don't go to sleep. I'm going to ask you again in a minute if I still sound all weird, okay? All right, our greatest need is not religion. Now, I discussed this in detail a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to go into a bunch of detail with it, except to say this and to review. And that is to say, you remember, God only gave one religious system in the Bible. Remember what it was? It was the law of Moses. That's right. He gave that religious system in the Bible, the law of Moses. Now, this is where I want you to take your Bible, go to the book of Galatians, which we've been studying verse by verse. And if you're missing Galatians on Wednesday night, you're missing one of the most powerful and important books of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote this book to explain to us how that religious system of the law cannot save you. Look with me at Galatians 3, verse 10. Echoing. Yeah. Try setting the EQ just like we used to have it. Have you tried that? Now it's echoing real bad, isn't it? It's really hard to I'm gonna have to switch. I can't keep doing this. So okay. Is that, you got it now? You got it back to the original? Okay, does that sound any better? That's back to the original. No better? Huh? It's not bad. How many of you think I sound weird? Okay, nobody's going to admit it, right, that I sound weird. Yeah, preacher, you sound weird. You know. Can you hear me okay? Is it all right? Okay, well, we'll try it again for a few minutes. If it's too distracting, we'll switch. All right, Galatians 3, verse 10. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law..." Now, notice this. If you're trying to live your life by the religious system of the law, okay... He said, you are under the what? You're under the curse. Now, what that means is this. That religious system of the law can only bring a curse on you. It cannot bring a blessing. In order for you to achieve righteousness through the law, through that religious system, you would have to keep the law in totality. You would have to keep it in continuance your entire lifetime. You see, the law demanded obedience in all things. Look with me at verse 12. Go over to Galatians 3 and verse 12. Still bad? Okay, let's go to the other one then. Okay, I did this in the early service too. We'll do it again. All right, I don't want to be distracting. Look at Galatians 3 here and verse number 12. It says here, now I want you to notice a key phrase, a key word. And the law is not of what? Faith. But the man that, and here's the key word, the man that doeth them. You know what the law does? The law says, do this, do this, do this, do this, and do this. The law was 613 different commands. And the Bible says the man that doeth them shall live in them. You would have to keep the law in continuance, in total obedience, in order for you to be declared righteous through the law. Let me ask you something. Have you ever offended God's law and God's righteousness? Yes or no? Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever taken God's name in vain? Have you ever coveted and wanted something that somebody else has? Have you ever told a misrepresentation? Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Have you ever loved something more than you love God? Then you have broken the Ten Commandments. And according to the Bible, when we break God's law, it brings the curse of death. For the wages of sin is death. What we deserve for our sin is we deserve death. We deserve eternal death and separation from God. Now, clearly, folks, your greatest need this morning is not religion. Today, we have a myriad of religious systems out there. I mean, there are so many religions out there. And all of them promise you favor with God if you will keep the prescribed laws and the prescribed rules of that religion. Every single one of those can do nothing but bring a curse upon you. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith." In your handout, it says that we lack justification before a holy God, and there is no religious system that can give you righteousness before Him. Listen, folks, no matter how many laws and rules you keep, no matter how better you may think you are than somebody else, in the end, in the final analysis, you and I are still sinners that have fallen short of God's measuring stick called the law. You know, it's kind of like
kind of like this. Yesterday, we had a fiasco at our house. We were redoing our bathroom, and we had new tile and everything down, and we were painting the walls. I was painting the walls. And that's right, I was painting the walls. And I was in there painting, and our bathroom's real small. I mean, two people standing up, it's full, you know. And so I'm down like this, and I've got a brush, and I got a stepladder and a bucket of paint right up here. And so I'm painting the wall, and all of a sudden I backed up into the ladder, and that bucket fell on my head. It fell on my shoulder. Had no lid on it. It fell on my shoulder, and then it tumbled down on the new tile, and it tumbled down. Of course, it had to fall, you know, face down. And so a whole gallon of paint was all over that bathroom. Well, my wife heard it in the other room. She came running in. What happened? What happened? She said, are you okay? And she came in, and I just looked up at her. I had paint all over my shoulder, all over my hair. I just looked up at her. She looked down. There was a bucket of paint all over the floor. A brand new bathroom. I looked up at her. I said, I'm okay. And then when she knew I was okay, oh, man, did she get mad. Oh, man, she was so mad. I can't believe you've done this. And I mean, she was ticked. She went through every emotion. She went from anger to sorrow to crying. And then we just started uncontrollably laughing. I'm serious. We were just laughing uncontrollably in there because I looked so ridiculous. And we were just laughing our heads off. And she got so mad because I was trying to help clean. And every time I would move to clean, I'd get paint on something else. So I just kept digging the hole deeper and deeper. You know, the more I'd move and try to clean, I'd just be getting paint everywhere. I had it all over my feet. I was standing in it. I was drenched in it. And everywhere I'd move, I'd just get more paint. She said, get out of here. You're getting it everywhere. And the more I tried to clean, the more dirty I got. The more dirty I got everything. And you know, that's exactly... Isn't that funny, Brother Rich? Brother Rich thought that was funny. He's laughing up here. But the more... Listen to this. And by the way, right in the middle of that whole event, she said, you ought to use this in a sermon illustration. Honey, you got your wish. I told on myself. But you know what? The Bible says God told Israel, he said, your righteousness is as filthy rags. In other words, the more they tried to clean themselves up, you ever try to clean yourself with a dirty rag? What happens when you try to clean yourself with a dirty rag? You get dirtier. He said, your righteousness, the good things you think you're doing nothing but getting dirtier because you're doing it apart from me. And you know what? It's like me. The more I tried to clean, the dirtier I got. And the more you try to clean yourself up with religion, the dirtier you get. The more you say, I'm going to clean myself up, and I'm going to do these rites, and I'm going to do these rituals, and I'm going to do these good works, and I'm going to do all these things that are going to really please God. He says, the dirtier you get, the dirtier you get. So what's the answer? If the answer is not religion, what's the answer to our sin problem? What's the answer to the problem that all of us in here have broken God's law? What's the answer? Well, if we don't need religion, what do we need? Look at Galatians chapter 2, and I'm going to show you. Here's what we all need. Galatians 2 and verse 5. We're going to see it. The Bible's going to tell you what we all need. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. Notice that the truth of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, say that with me, the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Look at verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel. There's that phrase again. Now, I have a question for you, church. What is the truth of the gospel? Hey, guess what? You know what the best commentary is on the Bible? The Bible. Look at Galatians chapter 1. He's going to explain to you what the gospel is. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. What is the truth of the gospel? Galatians 1, 6. Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the, here we go, the what? The grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said, I can't believe you've left the true gospel for another gospel. Well, then church, what's the true gospel? The true gospel is the grace of Christ. In your handout, it says mankind needs the truth of the gospel. It says the true gospel centers in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The true gospel centers in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Go to chapter 3, please, and let's look at it. Chapter 3, verse 13. Everybody turn over there, and let's look at it. Chapter 3, verse 13. If you're using your Pew Bible, it's right around page 1210. Okay, chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Whoa! We're all under a curse because we've sinned and broken it. Wait a minute. Look at the good news. The word gospel means good news. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, how did he do it? Look at it. Being made a curse. And what's the next two words? For us. For us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You know what Jesus did? Jesus kept God's law that you and I have broken. He kept it in total obedience. He fulfilled all righteousness. The law demands absolute perfection, and that's what Jesus did for 33 years. And then you know what he did? Christ willingly chose to pay the penalty and the curse of the law that you and I owe. Remember, the wages of sin is... What do you and I deserve for our sin? Death. Christ became a curse for you on that cross. He took your sin. He took every immoral thought, every immoral deed, every wickedness, every time that you've sinned, and he took those sins. He bore the curse of those sins on that cross. On the cross, Jesus was made a curse for us. In your handout, I've got a couple verses there on the back side I want you to see. It says there that in Romans 4:25 that Christ was delivered for our offenses and he was raised again for our justification. Now look at that. Christ was delivered on the cross for his own offenses, yes or no? No, he was delivered for whose offenses? Our offenses. Look at the next verse. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Wait a minute, he was the just. He was dying for the unjust. Now why would Christ die my death for me? Why would he take that curse for me? Look at the rest of the verse. That he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, made alive by the Spirit. Mankind's first and greatest need is to receive the truth of the gospel. Listen, the world out here says, oh yeah, you know what? You need social reform, you need education, you need religion. The Bible says your greatest need is to receive the truth of the gospel. You need righteousness before God, or on judgment day, you're going to hear God say, depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. The gospel, the good news that Christ bore your curse for you, that's the gospel. And in your handout, it says the gospel reveals that Jesus is offering his own righteousness to all those who simply turn to him in faith and trust him as their Savior. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Galatians 3:24. Okay, everybody turn over there. The Bible says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto who? Christ. Now here's the key though. That we might be justified. That is, made righteous. How are we made righteous? Is it by religion? Is it by good works? Is it by joining the church? Is it by giving money to the church? Is it by being baptized? We are justified. We are made righteous by faith. Look at verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by joining the Baptist church. Now some of you that aren't following along, I woke you up. What did he just say? That's not what it says, does it? It says, for ye are all the children of God by being baptized, right? No. For ye are all the children of God by doing all the good deeds of religion. No. He says, you are all the children of God by what? Faith in who? Christ Jesus. That's the good news. Hey, would you agree with me? That's good news. You don't have to do religion. Religion will curse you. The more you try to do it, the dirtier you get. You don't have to do that. Listen, you don't have to do anything. It's all been done. Jesus became a curse for us on the cross. He died our death, the just for the unjust. He paid the penalty for our sin. And now you and I can be forgiven of all of our offenses. How? By putting our faith in Him. By believing that what He did was sufficient for you. By believing that what He did was for you. By believing that what He did on the cross was for your sin. He bore your curse on that cross. And when you believe it so, and you believe it with all your heart, and you turn to Jesus, and you believe with all of your heart that He died for your sin, He became a curse for you. When you believe He died for you and He rose again, the Bible says you are justified. You are declared righteous by faith. And you know what He does? Not only does He forgive you of your sin, but then He puts His very life inside of you. He not only forgives and cleanses, boom, then He imparts righteousness and imparts the Spirit of His Son into your heart. He gives you His very life. Your greatest need is not religion. Your greatest need is to receive the truth of the gospel. If you're here today and you're not saved, that's your greatest need, to receive the truth of the gospel, to put your faith in Jesus Christ. But number two, I want you to get this. This is the last thing I'm going to give you. Our greatest need is not, in this life, it's not to have purpose. Our greatest need is not to have purpose. Now, that may shock some of you, because maybe you have read the book Purpose Driven Life. It sold millions of copies, and it's all about finding your purpose and your meaning in life. Well, here's the deal. Unfortunately, and I'm not judging the author's heart, only God can judge his heart. He may be very sincere, very well-meaning. And I can't judge his heart, but I can judge what he puts in black and white. And God's called us to do that. We can judge what he says and what he puts in black and white. And after reading the book, the whole premise of the book is built on a faulty concept. Finding purpose in this earthly life is not your greatest need. You see, there are many, many people who have found purpose in life, but they found it outside of God, and they found it outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adolf Hitler had purpose in life. Okay? But it led, his purpose led to his temporal and his eternal destruction. In your handout is a great verse, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. I mean, you're just going full speed ahead. Man, I got purpose. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. He says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. In other words, you can be purpose-driven, and it's a dead-end street. There was a man in Luke 12 that said, you know what my purpose in life is? He said, he had purpose, man. I mean, this guy had purpose. He said, I got more goods and more fruit and more crops than I can possibly store. He said, I'm going to build out all my barns. I'm going to build up greater barns. I'm going to put all my stuff in there. And he said, when I had all my stuff in there and I had all this done and I fulfilled this purpose, what I'm going to do then is, my purpose is, I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to be merry, I'm going to relax, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'm going to live life however I want to live it. And he had purpose in his life, but yet God came to him that night and he said, thou fool. Knowest thou not, this night thy soul shall be required of thee? Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You see, we've already established mankind's greatest need is what? It's righteousness before God. We've all broken His law. We need righteousness before God. Without righteousness before God, we'll all spend eternity apart from God in hell. Mankind needs what? He needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the starting place. Now, unfortunately, purpose-driven life never clearly articulates the gospel of Christ. You may get defensive. You may say it does. It doesn't. I've read the book. I know. For a believer, we can kind of read between the lines and we kind of think this and that. But you read the book as an unbeliever. And it never, read it as an unbeliever would. It never explains sin. It never explains our sinfulness and our alienation from God. It never explains the cross and why it was necessary because of our sin and our alienation. He had to become a curse for us on that cross. It was because of our sin that he had to go to that cross. It never explains that. It never explains future judgment. That God is going to one day judge and pour out his wrath upon sin. None of these things are presented. But yet mankind's greatest need is to know those things. That's the gospel, what I just said. You're a sinner. You're alienated from God by wicked works, the Bible says. Jesus Christ became a curse for you on the cross so you could be saved. And by faith, by turning to him, you avoid future judgment. And he puts his life within you. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the most important thing. If you're not saved, you know what God's purpose for you is? And unfortunately, like I said, it's not articulated. But here's the deal. God's purpose for you, if you're not saved, here it is. It's in your handout. He desires for you to believe on his Son and be saved from your sin. You say, how do you know that's God's purpose for me? How do you know it's God's purpose for me to be saved? How do you know it's God's purpose for me? Because the Bible says so. Look at the verse up here on the screen. The Bible says that the who is God in context. God will have all men to be what? Saved. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. Come to the knowledge of the what? Truth. There's the need, the truth of the gospel. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth. For, and then he's going to tell you what that truth is. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Who is the one mediator between us and God? It's not the church. It's not me. It's not Pastor Rich. Who's the one mediator that can get us to God? Jesus Christ. Why? Look at the next verse. Because Christ gave himself a ransom. Remember? He became a curse. He gave himself a ransom on that cross for how many? For all, that he might to be testified in due time. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm testifying of what we just read. I'm telling you that's the truth of the gospel. That's your greatest need. If you're not saved, God wants you to be saved. God wants you to come to him in faith, believing that what his Son did on the cross, it was for you. It was for your sin. You are a sinner. You are in need. You need a Savior. And you believe Jesus is that Savior. God is calling you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, God's purpose for you is to be saved. He wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, what if you're a believer? You say, what if I'm here, Pastor? I'm already saved. Okay, great question. In your handout, it says, if you are a believer, you do not have to travel on a 40-day spiritual journey to understand God's purpose for you. God has clearly revealed them in his Word. Now, let me say this, and I want you to listen closely to me, and I want you to understand. God raised up an apostle to the church, to us. He said, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. Would anybody in here happen to know which apostle God raised up with a unique message for us and gave us revelation directly from Jesus Christ for us from heaven? Does anybody know who that apostle is? It was Paul, the apostle Paul. Does anybody know what books that Jesus gave us through the apostle Paul for us today? Romans through Philemon. 13 books all together in your Bible. Romans through Philemon. Now, all of the Bible is written for us. Romans through Philemon is written directly to you. And you need to be studying it. You need to be acquainted, well acquainted with the truth of it, because it's God's direct mail straight to you. No man has written a groundbreaking manifesto on the meaning and purpose of life. On the back of that book, I read it. I just started laughing. It says on the back of the Purpose-Driven Life, this is a groundbreaking manifesto on the meaning and purpose of life. Only one person has ever written a groundbreaking manifesto on the purpose and the meaning of life, and that was God, and it's called the Bible. Your greatest need in your handout, your greatest need is to be taught the truth of sound doctrine and believe it by faith. That's your greatest need. It's just to be taught. You need to know the truth of sound doctrine. Doctrine is mentioned about four or five times in that book, and every single time it's downplayed and ridiculed. Well, you know what? Why don't you go home, study, look up the word doctrine. You can go to a website called e/sword.org, and you can download tons of... you can download that whole program for free. It's free. e/sword.org. You can have a whole Bible study program. You can type in any word, any phrase. It'll show you everywhere in the Bible it's found. Try looking up the word doctrine. Find out how many times the word doctrine is. Do you know what doctrine is? Doctrine is what you believe. Everyone in here holds to a doctrine. Now look, everybody in here, the Satanists holds to doctrine. Those who are in witchcraft hold to a doctrine. Those who are in religion hold to a doctrine. Everybody has a doctrine, because doctrine, it just simply means what you believe. It's what you believe in your heart. What is the doctrine that you hold to? You say, how do I know what doctrine? How do I know what I'm supposed to believe? Hello? It's right here. And listen, when you read Romans through Philemon, those 13 books, it's written directly to the church age. So there's not going to be any confusion at all. It's written straight to you. Listen, folks, do you study your Bible? If not, why? Why not? It's in English. He didn't put it in some obscure tribal language. It's in English. Why don't you study your Bible? You know what the Bible does for you when you study it? Here's what it does. I want you to look in your handout at a verse there. Let's look at this. In your handout, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Notice what Paul tells them. When you receive the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in what? Truth. The word of who? Of God. Now notice what happens when you believe the Bible. When you hear it, when you read it, when you study it, when you believe it, what happens? Look at it. Which effectually, that means actively, worketh also in you that believe. You know what the Bible does? As you study it, you get grounded in truth. And you know what the truth does? It changes you. It changes you. It changes your whole outlook on life. Changes your whole outlook about yourself, about God, about your marriage, about your kids, parenting, relationships, your work, your job, your possessions, everything. Truth changes everything in your life. But when we feed ourselves constantly with entertainment and we never get into the truth of God's word, is it any wonder that we struggle? Is it any wonder that we struggle? You got to have something to root your life on. You got to have something to be grounded in. That's truth. You know, I would recommend you get start in the book of Romans and just start reading. Even if you get through three verses and you just reread and reread and reread those three verses tomorrow morning, that's okay. That's more than you read yesterday, right? Many of us. But yeah, you know, start reading, start studying. You know, get you a Bible program on your computer. Study. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. You can do it. You can study the Bible. And as you hear the Bible taught, and that's why it's important you being a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church, because as you hear the Bible taught, as you hear it preached, and then as you study it, the Bible says it effectually works in us that believe it. As you hear it, receive it, and Paul said, this is good. He said in Philippians, you don't have to turn there, but in Philippians chapter 4, here's what he told the church. He said, Those things which ye have both learned, now listen, learned and received and heard and seen in me, he said, do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul, he's our apostle. He's the one we're supposed to be looking at. He's the one we need to follow. He's the one you need to hear. Get in Romans through Philemon. Start studying out those 13 books. Now, as you study those books, then it will open up the rest of the Bible to you. And you'll begin to understand the other books of the Bible. But man, if you've never read the Bible, don't start in Revelation tomorrow. Start in your direct mail. Don't start in Leviticus about all the feasts and all the things under Israel's law in the Old Testament. Start in Romans. Start right there. Start reading what Paul wrote to the church and start studying and start feeding yourself and start feeding your soul. Start feeding your spirit. You're not just a physical body that you just stuff food in. You also have a spirit. You need to be spiritually fed. You need to be spiritually nourished. You say, well, I get that from you, preacher, when I take it in on Sunday. Let me ask you something. Do you eat once on Sunday and then not eat again till next Sunday? Huh? Y'all going to go home, pig out today and not eat till next Sunday? Then why in the world do we think we can do that spiritually and we'll be okay? You're not going to be okay. You know what you're going to do? You're going to have a worldly outlook. You are going to have a humanistic, worldly-centered outlook on life. Why? Because you are not in the truth of God every day. As you are in this book, and as you let the truth of this book saturate your heart, saturate your soul, saturate your spirit, you're not going to understand everything you read. That's okay. That's all right. As you read it, as you study it, God will show to you what you need that day. He'll show you what you need to know. You say, well, I read 11 verses one time, and I only understood one of them. That's more than you understood before you read it. Amen? Listen, maybe that's the verse God wanted to reveal and show to you that day through His Spirit. God will show you what you need to know that day. There's nothing in the New Testament here in your Bible. There's nothing in there about going on a 40-day journey seeking to find your purpose and your meaning in this life. That's a man-made idea, because mankind can come up with some very different kind of formulas. Here's the bottom line. As you learn the truth of God's Word rightly divided, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Notice what the Bible's called. It's called the Word of Truth. The Word of Truth. And as you rightly divide the Word of Truth, as you study the Bible, here's what happens. Let me tell you what happens. I'm going to tell you what the result's going to be when you do this. Some of you, you're going to do this. And as you study the Bible, let me tell you what you can expect. You are going to grow in the truth of sound doctrine. You're going to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. And then God's purposes are going to flow forth very naturally in and through you. You're not going to have to sit there, oh, okay, let's see, what's the purpose? Let's see, what day? This is day 15. And what's God's purpose for me this day? And what's God's purpose for... I can't remember the other 14. What was God's purpose on day 3? And what was God's purpose on day 33? And what was God's purpose... No, you don't have to do that. Your focus is not on any so-called purposes. When you begin to read the Bible and get rooted in truth, you know where your focus is? Your focus is on Jesus Christ. Your focus is on truth, growing and walking in Him. God has clearly revealed His purposes for the believer in His Word. You don't have to go on a spiritual journey of self-discovery. You simply need solid Bible teaching and Bible study. And you'll grow in grace. And you know what? Here's the neat thing. When you start growing in grace, it's not a 40-day thing. It's a lifetime thing. How many of you have been saved in here over 30 years? Raise your hand. You've known the Lord over 30 years. Hey, question, how many of you are still growing, still learning? Look at that, every hand. Yeah, it's a lifetime thing. You continue to grow in grace. It's not a 40-day program. It's not a 60-day program. It's not a 365-day, okay, read your Bible through in a year program. None of that. No, no, no. It's a lifetime of growing in grace, in His grace. So, to kind of end this thing, what is our greatest need? Look in the box down at the bottom. What is our greatest need? Here's the bottom line. Jesus said, ye shall know the what? Truth. And the truth, what's the truth do? The truth of God's Word makes you free. The only way you're going to find truth is in the Bible. So what's our greatest need? Our greatest need is truth. It's not purpose. It's not religion. It's truth. If you're not saved, your greatest need is to believe the truth of the gospel and be saved today. If you are saved, your greatest need is for the truth of God's Word daily in your life. And as you receive it by faith, the Word of God works effectually, actively, in your heart and in your life. And God's purposes flow out of that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed.